Like to welcome all our guests, and if you enjoy our music or worship and what we do tonight, come join us Sunday morning at 10 for Easter service, and bring a guest with you, bring somebody with you. We're going to continue to worship and we'll have communion tonight, but first what I'd like to do is remind everyone we have child care. Child care is provided in the back here, so if you have kids and you need that, we have it. And we'll have child care on Sunday morning as well too. I'm going to read from Matthew 26. Jesus has just spent the evening with the disciples, and they've had that Last Supper together, and he's walked out to the garden to pray. And as he's walking out to the garden, we pick up, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd, armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the men stepped forward and they seized Jesus and they arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached out for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" And in that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death, but they did not find any. Though many false witnesses came forward, finally two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is the testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." "You have said so," Jesus replied, "but I say to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look now, you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? He is worthy of death," they answered. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Messiah. Who hit you?" Will you pray with me? Father, we come before you tonight, and we just worship you. We worship our Lord Jesus. We recognize the passion and the blood that's about to be spilled on our behalf. And we try to come to a place where we can just allow the weight, the power, and what this means in our lives to just fully be absorbed in us. And we come here just to worship you, Lord. We come here to partake in this, the elements, and just recognize that our lives are forever different from this night, what Christ has done for us. And we say, come Holy Spirit, come into this building, come into our lives, our hearts, and allow change to happen. Allow you to just bring us to a place where we become more intimately and closer related to Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.
No other king could vanquish the war horse or silence the warrior's rage while riding the lowly back of a donkey. No other king could break the dominion of darkness, the tyranny of evil, with a reign of grace and a kingdom of peace. No other king could give his life for the redemption of rebels, his wealth to welcome the outcast. Jesus is that king, the King of glory, Son of the living God. Not just another king, not just another prophet, not just another teacher. He was the one the world had been waiting for. The one to deliver us from captivity, the son of David and Abraham's chosen seed. He is the goal of the Mosaic Law, Yahweh in the flesh. He is the one who established God's reign and rule to heal the sick, give sight to the blind, freedom to the prisoners, and proclaim good news to the poor. This Jesus was the Creator come to earth and the beginning of a new creation. He embodied the covenant, fulfilled the commandments, and reversed the curse. This Jesus is the Christ that God spoke of to the serpent, the one prefigured to Noah in the flood, the one promised to Abraham, the one guaranteed to Moses before he died, the one promised to David during his reign, the one revealed to Isaiah as a suffering servant, the one predicted through the prophets and prepared for through John the Baptist. He is the Father, Son, Savior of the world, substitute for our sins, more loving, more holy, and more wonderfully terrifying than we ever thought possible. He is our Jesus, and there is no other king like him. He is our God, our glory, our victorious Savior. There is no other king like him. There is no other king. Thank you.
future and all created things. Love all reason and all the ways of men. You were here before the world began. Of all kingdoms, above all thrones, of all wonders the world has ever known, of all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Crucified, laid behind a stone, lived to die, rejected and and thought of me above.
Again, welcome to Freedom. Tonight, we celebrate the night when it feels like, had to have felt like at the time, that darkness had won. I hope that as we read Scripture together, as we hear the Word read, as we rehearse our Lord's passion through songs and through sharing together at the table, I hope that the answer to the question that we've just sung is yes. Tonight, we visit there. We've sung, "Were you there?" You know what Paul said is, "You were there. I was there." Because we've been crucified with Christ. And because of that, we can no longer live, but Christ can live in us. It's because of what happened on that Friday that we have victory today. The old people that we were, who were just so wrapped up in ourselves and in our own sin and foolishness, those people have died with Christ. And so tonight, as we celebrate His passion, we celebrate our victory that we have in Christ. There's so much that we could focus on tonight, because there's no day and there's no night of the year that is so rich, that's so filled with powerful symbols as what we celebrate every Good Friday. Jesus loved this day. He loved celebrating Passover with His closest friends. The Scripture said in the days leading up to His death, He longs to have one more Passover to be with His disciples. He loved what they celebrated and remembered at Passover, because they celebrated the love of God, the provision of God, the protection of God. They remembered and celebrated that ultimate act up until that point in time of how the people of God, who had suffered so horribly at the hands of the Egyptians, so horribly at the hands of the enemy, who had lived in bondage, who had lived in poverty, who had suffered so much physically. And on that first Passover night, when everything was coming to a head, either the people of God were going to experience the greatest victory they had ever known, or they were going to be annihilated. Because it was a true showdown between the powers of darkness and the power of God. And on that night, when they did what the Lord instructed, they roasted the Passover lamb, and they took the blood, and they applied it to the doorpost and the lintels. And what God had said would happen did happen. The death angel passed through. And those who didn't belong to God suffered as a result. And the people of God were protected by the blood. And on that Passover night began a journey. They left with the lamb that they had consumed. The lamb on the inside to strengthen them, and the blood of the lamb on the outside to protect them. And that was a picture of how they would live their lives. Jesus longed to celebrate what that, for 15 centuries, had been reminding the people of God of. The depth of God's love for His people, the extent that He was willing to go, not just to make sure that they didn't die and go to hell and get into heaven, but to see that He loved them, that He cared about what they experienced, that He cared about their suffering, and that He wanted to provide for them and to protect them. And Jesus knew that all of that was but a dim shadow of what would be truly lived out when Passover would be celebrated one more time in the old way. He gathered with His disciples at the table, and they went through the normal routine. They shared in the bitter herbs and the unleavened bread, and they rehearsed and remembered the provision and the protection of God. And yet it was a night to be remembered as a night of death, a night of great suffering, and yet a night that would lead to victory. We remember that. We remember the suffering. But we see it through the lens of Calvary when we look at it, don't we? We celebrate a little bit of a different service every time we come together on Good Friday because we remember the price that was paid. We remember what it took for the true Passover lamb to be sacrificed for us and the victory that he brought. And so there's some heaviness that comes with this, but it is mingled with a spirit of joy and celebration, isn't it? Because we know that Friday is not the end of the story. We can't look at Friday without looking back at it through Sunday morning and knowing the victory of Jesus and all that it purchased for us. And so we pause to hear again the story of the sacrifice of the true Passover lamb. Matthew tells us in Matthew 27, about Friday morning, when daybreak came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And after tying him up, they led him away and handed him over to Pilate, the governor, who could find no reason for a charge against him. But then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the governor's residence, and they gathered the whole company around him. They stripped him and dressed him in a scarlet robe. They twisted together a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and placed a staff in his right hand. And they knelt down before him, and they mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews!" And then they spat on him. They took the staff, and they kept hitting him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe, put his own clothes on him, and they led him away to crucify him. And as they were going out, they found a Cyrenian man named Simon, and they forced him to carry his cross, because by this time Jesus was well on his way to bleeding to death as a result of the scourging with the cat of nine tails. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they gave him wine mixed with gall to drink. But when he tasted it, he refused to drink it. And after crucifying him, they divided his clothes by casting lots. And then they sat down and were guarding him there. And above his head, they put the charge against him in writing, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." And then two criminals were crucified with him, one on the right and the other on the left. And those who passed by were yelling insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." And in the same way, the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him and said, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now, if he takes pleasure in him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And in the same way, even the criminals who were crucified with him taunted him. From noon until 3 p.m, darkness came over the whole land. And about 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" And when some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling for Elijah." And immediately one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a stick and offered him a drink. But the rest said, "Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." But Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. Suddenly the curtain of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked and rocks were split. The tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And they came out of the tombs after his resurrection and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Just a little glimpse of what his death would accomplish. When the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Many women who had followed Jesus from Galilee and looked after him were there watching from a distance. And among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. When it was evening, a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph came, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. He approached Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. And then Pilate ordered that it be released. So Joseph took the body, wrapped it in clean, fine linen, and placed it in his new tomb, which he had cut into the rock. And he left after rolling a great stone against the entrance of the tomb. When I was a kid in church, We didn't do communion very often. In fact, I grew up in a church where we did it 4 times a year. And when we did it, we didn't do it well, just to be honest. I grew up in a church that was good in a lot of ways, but we weren't very good with the mysteries of God. And the truth of the matter is, communion involves some mystery. God is always with us, but He is with us in a mysterious way that's unique when we come to the table. I love communion because we always got to run around and collect those plastic cups afterwards. We thought those were cool. But I just didn't know what to make of communion beyond that. We didn't really talk about it in church. We just tacked it on to the end of 4 services a year. And as a kid trying to make sense of all this, communion and Good Friday, the best I could come up with as a kid was, well, I guess the point is we should think about how much it hurt Jesus to go to the cross, how bad we were that He had to do that, how much He suffered and how bad we should feel for that. So we should work really hard not to sin anymore since Jesus hurt so much for us. Well, I've got to say, I think I missed the point. That's not what we're supposed to do when we come to communion. When we come to Good Friday and to communion, we do remember. We remember Jesus' suffering. We remember the depth of His love for us. He said, greater love has no man than this, that He lay down His life for His friends. And we do remember Jesus' suffering and His death. But the point is not to make us feel bad. It's not to somehow heap guilt on us or try and manipulate us into some kind of pumped up attempt to try and be better so Jesus didn't have to suffer quite as much. No, the truth is that at communion, we're reminded of the depth of God's love for us. And we're reminded of just how much Jesus desires intimacy with us. The first time that He did this, it was an intimate time at the table with His closest friends. And every time that He invites us to the table, He invites us to an intimate connection, to remember the depth of God's love. The Old Testament, in talking about the closest connection that a man and a woman can share, uses the same word for that union, the physical and spiritual union of a man and woman. That same term is used to describe the deepest level of worship between a human being and God. The deepest connection that we can share. The closest taste to that we get in a human relationship is when a Christian man and woman who have joined soul and spirit actually in marriage get to join bodies as well. One body is given to another and we experience an incredible level of intimacy. It's interesting that on the night that He was betrayed, on the night that Jesus is preparing to have His body literally brutalized and broken, He is going to give His body as an expression of His love for us. And He pauses at the table and He does more than say, I'm going to give My body for you. He says, I want you to take this bread and understand that it is My body. And I want you to receive My body. And every time you do this, I want you to receive My body, which is given for you. It's a symbolic picture. I'm not going someplace weird with this, but of the fact that the most intimate thing that we know on earth is when people are joined at this deep spiritual level that they even give their bodies to one another and say, we just want to know each other at a level that other people don't know each other. And Jesus says, every time we come to the table, I give you My body. I want you to come and draw close to Me. I want you to know intimacy with Me. Come to the table. Don't come to the table to be beaten up over what you've done. Come to the table and experience Me. Experience joy. Experience connection and life. And understand that all the things that God provided for His people from that very first Passover, when He said, I will stop the enemy. I will kill the enemy. I will do whatever it takes to protect you and provide for you. Remember the promises of God when you draw near to Christ and receive His body. That's the invitation tonight. We remember, we draw near and receive. And so tonight, that's the invitation to the table. As we continue in worship, the invitation is to come and to present your body and to receive His body, His shed blood. Would you join me as we go to Him together in prayer? Jesus, we give You thanks tonight. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your invitation to draw near, to come into an intimate relationship with you. We've all experienced cold, dead religion. Thank you that you call us to so much more. Lord Jesus, as we turn our attention to the table, we remember how you took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And how after supper you took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And we remember tonight. We remember your precious body broken, your blood spilled. We remember your death and your resurrection and your victory. And together we say thank you. In a fresh way, let your passion be poured into our lives. Holy Spirit, search us, convict us. We confess our sin. We give thanks for the blood of Jesus that purchases our forgiveness. We receive that tonight with grateful hearts. And Jesus, we invite you, by the work of your Spirit and as we enter into this time, come now and fill us with your life. Meet us in this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We invite you, regardless of church affiliation, to come and receive as we continue to worship in song. We'll be serving on each side of the table. We'll serve several at a time and then pray over you. But as we're doing this throughout the remainder of the service through communion, if there's a need in your life and you need somebody to pray over you, pray with you, we'd love to do that. You feel free to come forward and we'll do that as we continue together in worship. Thank you.
I've ever felt comes like a flood, comes flowing down. And at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sins washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus. Here my hope is found, here on holy ground, here I'm bound. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sins washed white, I owe all to you. Thank you.
Song quite a bit at the end of the service each Sunday. But most people don't realize there's a second verse in this song. And the second verse kind of describes just how much He loves you and me. Of tonight, we know what happens on Sunday. And we know that on Sunday we all have the opportunity for everlasting life.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
With all creation I sing.
Crucified and risen one. We bless you tonight, Jesus. Oh, come. Come and descend on us. We remember Friday. We remember your death. We remember your pain and how we long for Sunday. We pray that in this place on Sunday, Jesus, make your glory known. Make your presence felt. Draw men and women, boys and girls to yourself. Glorify yourself in this place and in our lives. We pray with grateful hearts in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Join us Sunday as we gather to celebrate the resurrection. Invite those who need to hear the gospel that's going to go out in this place Sunday. We'll see you then. Hi. Thanks so much for taking time to tune in and listen to the message today through Freedom Online. We would love the opportunity to meet you personally anytime that you're in our area. But if today you heard something that really connected or that maybe you've got questions about, you'd like to talk with somebody or have someone pray with you, we'd love to hear back from you. You can reach us in a couple of different ways. You'll find on the website a contacts link. You can contact me or any member of our leadership directly, or you can call us at the number that you see on the website or at the bottom of the screen now. Thanks again for tuning in, and we hope that you have a great week.